I'm your host, AB.
And this week on Mama Murdered a Podcast, we're diving into part two of the high school cheerleader, Brooke Schuyler Richardson, who gave birth to a baby in the middle of the night, except no one knew she was pregnant. Not only did nobody know that she was pregnant, but Schuyler also claimed that the baby was dead when she gave birth to her at home in the middle of the night in the bathroom. So she took it upon herself to bury the baby in the backyard of her parents' house where she also lived. This case is brutal, so strap in. But part two's not going to be any worse than part one, so if you made it through that, you should be fine through this. But with all that being said, and without further ado, let's get it. So last week, we left off on Schuyler going back into the OBGYN office again for a second appointment. And the doctors were just kind of asking Schuyler, like, where she gave birth, how the birth went, how the baby was doing, you know, just normal questions for someone who'd just recently given birth. But Schuyler confided in the doctor that she had delivered a stillborn baby in the bathroom at her house. And then Schuyler told the doctor that since the baby was born lifeless, that she took the baby into her backyard and buried her baby. She also tells the doctor that she named the baby Annabelle before she put her in this makeshift gravesite. So after hearing this news, obviously the doctor has to report this to authorities, but the doctors did let Schuyler go home from this appointment. So it was 2 days after Schuyler went into her second appointment with her OBGYN on July 14th, 2017, that the police showed up at Schuyler's house, and they're telling her parents that they need to speak with her at the police station. Schuyler's dad, Scott, drove Schuyler to the police station, and then he called Schuyler's mom, Kim, to let her know, like, what was going on, and Kim was going to meet Schuyler and Scott at the station. But police don't actually tell Schuyler's parents why they need to talk to Schuyler or what it's about. Schuyler's dad, Scott, follows Lieutenant John Fain to the police station where they let Schuyler go in for questioning. Once they get Schuyler to the police station, Lieutenant Fain tells them that since Schuyler is legally 18 years old and an adult, that neither one of her parents would be able to go back into the room with her while they talk to her. And to hear Schuyler's parents tell it, they had absolutely no idea that Schuyler was going to be taken in for questioning or what it was about. Schuyler's parents, Kim and Scott, were actually kind of thinking that the police needed to question Schuyler about something more along the lines of, like, a fight at school or maybe something she'd witnessed like that. Because that's kind of how the police worded it. Schuyler's dad, Scott, even asked if he needed to get Schuyler an attorney, and Lieutenant Fain tells him that no, Schuyler isn't in any trouble, that they just need to talk to her. So Lieutenant Fain and Detective Katie Gee have Schuyler in this interrogation room without any attorney and without either of her parents, even though Schuyler's mom Kim said many times before this that Schuyler had an eating disorder and that she never really developed mentally or physically past about the age of 11 or 12. But I guess that doesn't really matter because Schuyler is still classified as an adult who can comprehend and understand the laws and knows right from wrong. Now, once Schuyler is brought into the interrogation room, that's when Lieutenant Fain finally tells Schuyler why she's there. Lieutenant Fain tells Schuyler that her OBGYN had called to report that she had given birth to and then buried her baby. And then almost immediately after this, Detective Fain starts reading Schuyler her rights. And then he even has her read some parts back to him just to clarify that she understood what was happening. And this whole time, Lieutenant Fain is just reassuring Schuyler, telling her that they aren't going to try to trick her into anything, and that they just want to know what happened when she had the baby, and they kind of ask who knew about the baby, and still, even after reading her rights, and letting Schuyler know why she was being questioned, Skylar's parents still had absolutely no idea why the police needed to speak to Skylar. Hell, they didn't even know why they had needed to take Skylar into the police department in the first place. But officers had assured Skylar's parents, Kim and Scott, that they didn't need to get a lawyer for Skylar, which Skylar's dad, Scott, ended up saying later on that not getting Skylar a lawyer immediately is one of his biggest regrets in life. So, without knowing why they're there, both of Skylar's parents just told her to be completely honest with the officers. Skylar's parents later say that they thought that this was maybe something about something that had happened at school or something that she'd witnessed. Because really, when the police showed up at their house, they just told Scott and Kim Richardson that they needed to talk to Skylar about something that she'd witnessed. Not that she was being investigated about a crime. So, on her parents' advice, Skylar tells the investigators everything that happened and why she did what she did without her parents or any kind of legal representation. Skylar tells him that once she realized that the baby wasn't moving, that she knew baby Annabelle was dead, that that's when she decided to bury her in her parents' backyard. That way she could still visit with her and take her flowers whenever she wanted to. And she even tells him that she was able to do all of this without having to reveal to anybody that she'd ever even been pregnant. So again, she isn't denying anything that happened. She doesn't try to lie and cover it up. She doesn't make excuses. She seems to be completely honest with both of the officers who were questioning her about what happened. So, after about 45 minutes of questioning, the police go out into the waiting room at the police station, and they tell Skylar's parents, Scott and Kim, what Skylar had just admitted to doing, and naturally, her parents want to talk to her. Because again, they had no idea that she was even pregnant. So, police bring Scott and Kim Richardson back into the interrogation room where Skylar is being held, and they kind of leave them in the room with Skylar alone. And I just want to say that it is abundantly clear that Scott and Kim didn't realize that everything that they said inside of this room would be recorded. And you can actually find Kim and Scott's first reactions after learning that Skylar delivered a baby that nobody knew she was pregnant with. You can search for that online and it'll pop up everywhere. I was going to try to play some of Kim and Scott talking to Skylar for the first time after they learned what had happened. But it's really hard to hear, and not really good enough quality to try to play back, so I'll just give you the rundown real quick. Which I'm not sure how Skylar's parents didn't know that everything that they said would be recorded, because it was 2017 when this happened. Like, I get it, they lived in a small town, but the town I live in is literally a quarter of the size of the town where Skylar and her parents lived. And everyone in my even smaller town knows that everything that you say inside of a police interrogation room or inside of any room in the police station where you're being questioned is also being recorded. So I don't know how they didn't know this even without being told. But the first thing that sticks out to me about what her parents had to say when they were left alone in the interrogation room with Skylar is the part when Skylar's mom, Kim, tells Skylar something along the lines of, like, you're gonna lose Brandon over this, you know? And the entire time I'm just thinking, you do realize that the police just told you what your daughter did, not to mention the fact that she's already confessed to it. So why are we even mentioning Brandon at this point? Like, Brandon is literally the last thing on everybody's mind right now. But not Kim's. And then Kim tells Skylar that teenagers get pregnant all the time and it's not the end of the world, but literally just a week or so before all of this came out, Kim was texting Skylar telling her that if the doctor's email was right and if she was pregnant, then she'd have to drop out of school and get a job and figure out how to take care of and feed a baby. So obviously, Skylar wasn't thinking that her parents were going to be super supportive and stand behind her and help her if they found out she was pregnant. And in my own personal opinion, I think Skylar's parents did know that they were being recorded and that Kim just said that to kind of make herself look a little better. Again, that's just my personal opinion. Another one of my personal opinions is that Kim had a sneaking suspicion that Skylar was pregnant way before all these details came out. But let's keep going. Because after Kim tells Skylar that teenagers getting pregnant is not the end of the world, of course she has to tell Skylar that the neighbors have already started calling her phone and that they're telling her that police have already had their house taped off with crime scene tape and that the neighbors are all asking what's going on and, you know, the entire neighborhood's just curious about why the police are at their house. And throughout this whole thing, it's pretty obvious that Kim is very much worried about what the neighbors think about them and she doesn't really want anyone to know what's going on. And naturally, Kim and Scott both start asking Skylar if she intentionally hurt the baby or even if she killed the baby, whether it was on purpose or an accident. And Skylar tells both of her parents that she would never hurt her baby and that the baby wasn't breathing when she gave birth. And then Kim makes it a point to tell Skylar that if the police do an autopsy, that they'll be able to tell if the baby was born alive or not. And that if the baby was born alive and something happened to the baby after she was born, that Skylar would most definitely be going to jail for that. And you can just tell how freaked out Skylar is and how confused she looks. And it almost makes me wonder if her mom wasn't right about Skylar's eating disorder, keeping her from developing not only physically but mentally. Not to say that she's dumb or anything, but her body honestly wasn't getting the things that it needed in order to mature, so I could easily see how this could affect her development as far as, like, her mental capacity and her physical appearance. So, of course, between Skylar's confession and what the police had learned already, they had enough evidence to get a search warrant to dig up the Richardson family's backyard, and so, duh, that's what they do. And I believe this digging up of the backyard either happened the day after Skylar was questioned by police or the day of, but don't hold me to that either way, I don't have that date wrote down. So they start digging up the backyard, and they only had to use a small gardening, like, hand-sized shovel. And I don't garden, so I have no idea what those are called. But the grave was so shallow that it was uncovered by, like, hand-shoveling dirt, and investigators also used rock brushes to move the dirt around to be able to find the remains of baby Annabelle. So Skylar had literally just buried the baby under the surface of the top layer of dirt. And once police start digging, or in this case, scooping up the backyard, that's when they found the remains of Skylar's newborn infant, baby Annabelle, and she was in the exact spot where Skylar said that she'd buried her. Now, it had been like 9 weeks since Skylar had buried baby Annabelle in her backyard, so even though the police weren't sure if they'd find all the tiny remains of baby Annabelle, they were able to recover most of them in exactly the spot where Skylar said they would be. Then there was an autopsy done on baby Annabelle by a woman named Susan Allen, where she says that she used the information available to her, along with the remains that were found, to come to the conclusion that baby Annabelle had passed away from homicidal violence. And she made this conclusion largely based on the statements that Skylar made to police during her interviews and questioning with the police, where the word gurgling comes into play, which we'll get into that word in that interview in just a second. But for now, let's stay within the timeline. So it was 3 days after this first initial police interview that Skylar had done that baby Annabelle's remains were examined by a forensic pathologist named Susan Brown. Now, after collecting the bones that had been found and looking at the evidence that they had been able to find, and then looking at the autopsy results, and then after watching the interviews with Skylar and the police, Dr. Susan Brown also determined that baby Annabelle had died from homicidal violence during the forensic pathologist examination that she conducted. So, as of right now, there are at least 2 people saying that baby Annabelle's cause of death was homicidal violence. And then there was Dr. Elizabeth Murray, who was a forensic anthropologist, who also examined baby Annabelle's remains. And the conclusion that she came to would be the headliner that the prosecution ran with at trial. Dr. Murray concluded that there were signs of charring on baby Annabelle's remains. Almost as if she'd been burned before she was buried in the backyard at Skylar's parents' house. So naturally, with all of this new evidence that had been found, it's no surprise that investigators wanted to question Skylar yet again. Because she hadn't mentioned anything to the investigators during the first questioning about burning the baby. So, 6 days after Skylar had her first interview with police, the police wanted to question Skylar again, and this time they kind of did a little good cop, bad cop routine on her. The female officer kind of held Skylar's hand and tried to comfort her, while Lieutenant Fang kind of threw out some different accusations about what he thought maybe could have happened. The officer started by asking Skylar if the baby was alive when she was born, and Skylar was adamant that the baby was not alive when she was born, even saying that the umbilical cord was not attached to the baby at all. Then Lieutenant Fain tries a different approach, and he asks Skylar if the baby had made any noises, like shallow breathing, any small whimpers, or even perhaps a gurgling noise. Now, this doesn't really seem relevant until we get into the trial part of this case, But Skylar hadn't used the word gurgling at all before this. And up to this point, Skylar had been adamant that the baby had not been breathing and did not make any movements or noises. And the first time that the word gurgling came up in any kind of conversation, it was actually Lieutenant Fain that brought it up, asking Skylar if maybe the baby had made gurgling noises when she was born. Now, after the word gurgling was introduced into the conversation during this interview, Skylar ended up using it repeatedly, and that will be brought up during trial later, and it'll be used against Skylar. Skylar told Lieutenant Fain that the baby's arms may have moved just a little bit, and that she may have made a few quiet gurgling noises. And this was also after multiple interviews of Skylar staying pretty adamant that the baby had not been born alive. But her story is starting to change a little bit now. Skylar also told Lieutenant Fain that the baby was extremely white when she was born, and that she never had to cut the umbilical cord. So then they decide to tell Skylar about the charring or the burning that was found by forensic anthropologist Dr. Murray, and Skylar looks and sounds genuinely confused about the burning part. She had never denied giving birth, or hiding her pregnancy, or even burying the baby. But she'd told investigators more than 15 times during this interview that she absolutely did not burn baby Annabelle. And I actually think that she told them she didn't burn the baby like 17 or 18 times during this one interview. And we still have Detective Katie Gee, who's playing good cop and holding Skylar's hand and rubbing her back and trying to comfort her. And she tried approaching the question about the burning in a different way. So Detective Katie Gee suggests that maybe Skylar had tried to cremate baby Annabelle so that she could keep some of her ashes for herself. And then Skylar says something along the lines of like, well, maybe I burned her just a little bit, or something close to that. So now they've gotten Skylar to say that the baby made gurgling noises and that she burned the baby to try to cremate her, all in this one sit-down interview worth of questioning. So naturally, with all of this information that they have now, Skylar was arrested on charges of reckless homicide, noting that Skylar likely suffocated baby Annabelle. But Skylar wouldn't stay in jail long, though, and those charges weren't going to stay the same either. Skylar's parents, Kim and Scott, were able to come up with the bail money to get Skylar out of jail, and then they hired her a defense attorney. But only 2 weeks after making bail, Skylar's case was presented to a grand jury, and it wasn't pretty. The grand jury decided to indict Skylar on a whole new set of charges, so she was arrested again, this time on charges for involuntary manslaughter, endangering children, abuse of a corpse, and also the charge of aggravated murder, which the aggravated murder charge alone carries a mandatory life sentence in the state of Ohio. Skylar entered a plea of not guilty and spent the weekend in jail while her parents came up with her new $50,000 worth of bail money. And after the weekend in jail, when Skylar was released on bail, she was put on house arrest with an ankle monitor. And as soon as she was released, the media was wilding out. So much so that the judge issued a gag order on this case, which just means that no one involved in this case is allowed to speak about it publicly or to the media, reporters, whatever. And the gag order didn't help anything at all, because social media and news stations and newspapers had all run with the story that Skylar had burned her baby's body in an attempt to cremate her. And y'all go ahead and strap in, because I told you this was a wild one. So the media is running with the teenage cheerleader burning baby killer headline, but as the prosecution and Skylar's defense team got ready for trial, Dr. Elizabeth Murray, who, if you'll remember, was the one who claimed that the baby's bones had been charred to start with. Yeah, so she took another look over the bones and then recanted her statement about the baby being burned, which dropped a bombshell on everybody following this case, I think. Although we wouldn't learn about it for a while. Now, after looking at the bones for a second time, Dr. Murray said that the bones showed absolutely no sign of charring or burning whatsoever. But because Skylar had falsely admitted to burning baby Annabelle during one of her interrogations, that was still the story that the prosecution was planning to run with. And I almost feel like the gag order that the judge had put on this case was one of the reasons that not a lot of people in the public knew that Dr. Murray had even recanted her statement. The gag order would also explain why the recanting of the statement didn't really hit the media anywhere near as hard as it did when people believed that Skylar had burned her baby. So, Skylar stayed on house arrest for about a year until January of 2019 when she was offered a plea deal. The deal was that if Skylar would plead guilty to all of the other charges, then the state would drop the charge of aggravated murder, which, again, was the one charge that carried a mandatory life sentence in the state of Ohio. But even with the aggravated murder charge off the table, Skylar would still be looking at about 15 years in prison if she agreed to plead to the rest of the charges. And Skylar thought about it for a few days, but she ultimately decided that she wasn't going to plead guilty to something that she hadn't done. So that was that on that. She was going to trial. And despite the fact that Skylar's defense team had asked for the trial to be moved to a different county, that didn't happen. So with a fully tainted jury pool, the trial started on September 3rd, 2019. And during the trial, Skylar's parents say that they were having to essentially sew Skylar into her clothes that were already kid-sized clothes because she was that small. The prosecution kind of used Skylar's eating disorder against her, though, and it was super unfair. Instead of acknowledging that it is an eating disorder that is an actual medical diagnosis, instead they referred to Skylar as being vain and being obsessed with what other people thought about her, and only one of those statements is true. Skylar did care a lot about what people thought about her. So, the prosecution started the trial by reading text messages that Skylar had sent to her mom on the morning after she'd given birth to Annabelle. Those same text messages that we read last week where Skylar's telling her mom that she's so happy that her tummy's flat again and how she's gonna work hard to look better than ever, and then of course the prosecution had to explain to the jury how Skylar confessed to all of the things. But Skylar's defense attorneys actually brought in an expert on police interviews. And this expert kind of points out how Skylar is such a people pleaser and how she is easily influenced and susceptible. He tells the jury that Skylar only told the detectives what she thought they wanted her to say, even after she told them the truth multiple times. And after she told them the truth over and over and over, they were still asking her the same questions and implying what she'd done over and over and over. So she eventually just cracked under pressure and told them whatever they wanted to hear. Now, I'm not sure what the prosecution was thinking because they brought in all of these people and experts who had examined Annabelle's body and remains, and all of these people gave their opinions saying that they thought it was homicidal violence, but then they also all said that they weren't able to prove whether or not the baby had even been born alive or not. And they also couldn't determine if or even how the baby would have been killed if she was killed. Actually, instead, all they said was that there was no physical evidence that the baby was born alive and that there was no evidence of burning on the bones or even any trauma inflicted on baby Annabelle to prove that she was killed. So they were all working solely off of what Skylar had confessed to during these interviews. And then remember how Skylar said that the baby had been really white when she was born? Right. So, Skylar's defense team brought in an expert that basically said stillborn babies are usually born white and not beet red like most healthy newborns. This same expert told the jury that Skylar claimed to have never cut an umbilical cord, and that the umbilical cord could have come detached during her pregnancy, also stating that Skylar's eating disorder could have greatly affected the baby's development in the womb. And let's not forget the amount of times that the prosecution referred back to Skylar's gurgling noises. Good God, I'm going to name this episode The Gurgle. Now, once the trial was over on September 12th, 2019, it only took the jurors 4 hours to reach their verdict, which I feel like 4 hours is a super short amount of time to basically be holding somebody else's freedom in your hands, but that's all it took for them was 4 hours. Skylar was found not guilty on all of the charges except for one. That was the gross abuse of a corpse, which only carries a sentence of up to 1 year in prison. So the aggravated murder charge that carried a mandatory life sentence, she was found not guilty of that charge too. One day later, Skylar was in front of the judge and she spoke for herself for the first time since the trial had started. And of course, this was during her sentencing hearing. She apologized at least 4 times and then thanked the judge. But the judge didn't seem to accept her apology because once Skylar was done speaking, the judge himself spoke saying, quote, "I firmly believe, Miss Richardson, in fact, I know in my heart, that if you would have made different decisions in this case, Annabelle would be here today. And I think that your choices before birth, during birth, and after show a grotesque disregard for life." And with that, Skylar was sentenced to 3 years of probation, and before the judge dismissed the courtroom, it was arranged and agreed on that baby Annabelle's body would be released to Skylar and her family with the promise that Annabelle would get a proper burial and a gravesite, and also that the spot where Annabelle was buried at would be available to Skylar's ex-boyfriend, Tyler Johnson, and his family so that they could visit whenever they wanted to. Obviously, Skylar and her family agreed to that. And I think that's all I have for you this week. But I'm super excited to get into next week's case because it's got my mind in a chokehold. Let's get on the review of the week and let's get out of here. This review comes from Apple, and if you don't have Apple because Android for life, you can also leave one on Facebook and it'll be read here on the podcast. This one is 5 stars and it comes from K. Lester 2. Says, "I started listening when AB started covering the JonBenet murder. I really appreciated her open mind and healthy skepticism. I was delighted when we had a chance to discuss the case. AB included the possibility that the intruder killed JonBenet and framed her parents on the last episode. Her recent series on Victim F is fascinating, and there are so many parallels to JonBenet. A kidnapping that isn't a kidnapping, an intruder who surveilled his victims for weeks, a quote-unquote small foreign faction, police who assumed it was a hoax because it seemed like a movie and blamed the victims, and on and on. Listen to this podcast for a wild ride into true crime." Thank you so much. That was so nice. I'm really glad you liked those series. I put a lot into those two. And with that, let's do it again. Same time, same place, next Wednesday. See you then.
That's how my mama murdered a podcast.